Shalom Alechem, and thank you for joining in on my podcast. It's been a little delayed, but Baruch Hashem, here we are. I'm Shoshana, also called Zippor Esh, of the Sar Shalom Synagogue Chavengers. Zippor Esh simply means firebird in Hebrew. As a citizen of the Kingdom of God, studying and living God's Torah is the fire of my life. Studying God's Torah without application to our lives is meaningless, however. The objects of God's Word is to bring out the spiritual side of our lives so that we can be people who look just like the Jewish Messiah, who is the living, revealed Torah. As spiritually focused beings, we can be effective witnesses of God for His glorious kingdom, thereby fulfilling our role as priests for the nations who would want to join Israel and the kingdom of God. We will never accomplish this if our old selfish nature has not died. As Rav Shaul tells us in the second letter to the converts in Corinth, we must be born again a new person, fully embracing the laws and the lifestyle of the kingdom. Understanding what God expects of us from the Hebrew perspective will give clarity, and following God's instructions will meet with success, as we will see from our study passage. Trying to understand a Hebrew document from any other cultural mindset only causes confusion and disaster. Cultures change, mores change, and influences change through the centuries, but God's instructions and expectations of His children never change. So let's begin with the blessing we speak before opening and studying God's Word, that we will have hearts to understand His spiritual decrees. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Bachar Banu Michol Ha'amim Ve'natan Lanu Et Torato. Baruch Ata Adonai Notein HaTorah. Amen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who has selected us from all the nations and gave us His Torah. Blessed are you, Adonai, giver of the Torah. And the blessing for studying the writings in the Brit Hadashah. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, who is good, who does good, and who proclaims the good news of redemption through Messiah Yeshua. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, Redeemer of Israel. Last podcast, we talked about being residents or aliens. Today, we will be talking about where our true allegiance should be. So I've titled this podcast, Citizenship in the Kingdom. Our scripture focus is Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, but we will be focusing mostly on verses 7 through 9. Please read the whole passage at some point so that you can see the magnitude of what God is telling Joshua. Verse 7 says, only be strong and very bold in taking care to follow all the Torah which Moshe, my servant, ordered you to follow. Do not turn from it either to the right or to the left. Then you will succeed wherever you go. Yes, keep this book of the Torah on your lips and meditate on it day and night so that you will take care to act according to everything written in it. Then your undertakings will prosper and you will succeed. Haven't I ordered you? Be strong, be bold. So don't be afraid or downhearted, because Adonai your God is with you wherever you go. The setting of this passage has many important points, and I will try to illuminate some of them. But to start with, we see in these verses that Moses, the first Moshiach of Israel and a spiritual teacher, has completed his assignment of leading them out of bondage into freedom and has now died. He successfully led Israel through the desert wanderings while God was doing surgery on the hearts of the people. The men who were guilty of dancing around the golden calf have died, as God said, and all the men who were under the age of 20 at that time are now mature adults. Caleb and Joshua, also called Yeshua, are the only two left from the men who left Egypt. What a sad tale. What is not known in Bible teachings outside of Judaism is what really happened with the creating of the golden calf. In Exodus 32, we are told, pardon me, that Aaron fashioned the golden calf, but the commentaries explain that Aaron was trying to arrange tactics for delaying what the men were demanding until Moses could return, which was he was expected at any minute. The men thought that Moses was dead, as he did not come down from the mountain on the day they were expecting him. This was a miscalculation on their part. The golden calf was not made by Aaron's own hand, but thought to be Egyptian sorcery by some of those who came out of Egypt with Israel. But because Aaron was in charge, he was ultimately responsible. It is further stated that the raucous men were so heated up that when Hur, whom Moses gave shared responsibility to care for the group, stood up against them, they killed him. Aaron was then concerned that they would kill him also. Aaron had to be savvy to contain the raucous party, but the men were just too heated up to wait one more day. My paraphrase comes from the Art Scroll Chumash commentary, which contains quotes from ancient sages such as Ramban, Rashi, Rabbi Bachya, and Or HaChaim. So sorry, to just name a few. Another key bit of info is that only the men were celebrating around the golden calf. The women refused to be part of the ordeal, and because of that, the people as a whole survived the judgment of the wilderness journey instead of being utterly destroyed. If you remember too, God told Moses that he was going to destroy the whole bunch, but Moses interceded, going as far as to offer himself as an atonement in their place. But God relented of his judgment. I'm very glad of this because this set a precedent for future generations. In my research, I remember hearing a rabbi state that when God makes negative pronouncements, he retains the prerogative to negate them if the people repent. If the people repent. Does this not show that God is more than willing to forgive and reverse his judgments? But when he makes a positive pronouncement, he never goes back on it. Another proof of God's loving kindness toward those that love and obey his commands. You may have never wondered why neither of Moses' sons stepped into the role of leader, or Moshiach, in their father's place. God needed a leader that was wholly focused on doing his will, and in Joshua, he saw a steadfast heart. Joshua's name originally was Hoshea, or commonly in the English, Hosea. But Moses replaced the H with a Yud, and the Hebrew root letters were now Yud, Shin, Vav, Ayin. You can find this in Numbers 13:16. So Joshua, the English pronunciation of Yeshua, actually means redemption or help, according to the Dictionary of the Targumim and the Talmud Bavli and Yerushalami, and the Midrashic literature. There's another word associated with Yeshua, the word pidyon, which means delivery, redemption, and ransom. Although the commentary for this word is amazing, it is beyond the scope of this podcast. Feel free to research it for yourself. Pidyon, P-I-D-Y-O-N, pidyon. Getting back to the focus of this podcast in Joshua, otherwise known as Yeshua, Moses' assistant, is warned to walk in complete obedience to God's covenant regulations. He is adjured to study and to think about them continually. In this way, he would be able to obey to the least detail. From this would come blessing, prosperity, success in the plans of God. The story of Joshua is a messianic allusion to the life and purpose of Yeshua, the final Messiah. King Solomon stated in Ecclesiastes, "There is nothing new under the sun," and this is especially true when patterns pertain to the picture of a future Messiah. When we look at the context of this passage, God is making a covenant with Joshua / Yeshua. If he was going to fulfill his mission for God, he would have to walk faithfully within this covenant. The Torah, Bible is a covenant that God has made available to all who would accept and obey it. The contents of the Torah are only for those who want to live in covenant with God and can only be fully observed when living within a Torah observant community. This covenant cannot be abrogated by us. Only God can make any changes in its content, and He has already said that He will not change it. So what does this mean for those who are still living outside of this covenant? Humanity cannot pick and choose what parts they want to follow, and they can't rewrite it for their own benefit. Yeshua is the door through which the nations can come into this Torah covenant. But once through the door, the Torah is the standard God expects His children to live by. Throughout the scriptures, we are admonished to obey the words of God, and by doing so, we will receive a great blessing, protection, and provision. Leviticus chapter 26, verses 3 through 13. In John 15, 7 through 11, Yeshua is talking to His disciples, His inner circle, but they were still part of the community of Israel. He tells them, If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. In this My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be My disciples. I want to clarify what fruit Yeshua is referring to. He's not talking about souls being saved per se. He's talking about people who are working on improving their character traits, as Rav Shaul reiterates in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Going on, just as the Father has loved Me, I also have loved you. Abide in My love. These things I have spoken to you so that My joy may be in you and your joy may be full. Yeshua said elsewhere that people will know that we are His disciples when we have love for one another also. Our love for one another will improve as we work on correcting our character flaws. Keep in mind that Yeshua is the Word, the Torah, revealed in flesh, and His words will not contradict the Word of God. Rav Shaul tells the congregation in Rome, chapter 7, verse 12, So then, the Torah is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. He says a few verses down, verse 14, For we know that the Torah is spiritual. But I am the flesh of the flesh sold to sin. It is the character flaws of our flesh, our fallen nephesh, that need to be dealt with. So what words are we required to obey if we are in covenant with God through Messiah Yeshua? As long as Joshua, Yeshua, upheld and taught the Torah to the descendants of Israel, God prospered them as they took back the land God promised to Abraham. Now you may be wondering what I mean by the phrase, they took back the land. On a side note, the land known as Israel today is only a fraction of what God promised Abraham, but this land promise goes back even farther than Abraham. Here is a short history lesson to help us put the pieces together. When Noah's family exited the boat and Noah divided the lands between his sons, Shem was given the section of the land from Turkey down to the border of Egypt. Of course, we know there were no borders at that time. And from the Great Sea in the west, eastward to the Great River. Japheth was given the lands north of Turkey, and Ham was given the lands of Egypt and to the south as it was roughly measured out. You can read about this in the book of Jasher. So how did Shem's inheritance get taken over? This dispersion from Babel sent people to the known four corners of the earth, and as the line of Shem did not expand as quickly as the brothers, Salem, or Jerusalem, was taken over by the other tribes. Noah, Shem, and Ever still lived in the parcel of Shem's inheritance in Salem, but they did not take up arms to defend their land as they were men of the Torah and the study of Torah was more important. Coming back to our focus passage, we are seeing that the start of the reclamation of Shem's inheritance by his 16th or 17th, not sure, generational descendant, Joshua, Yeshua. And in this, we understand from the ancient rabbinic studies a type and shadow of the final Messiah, who would also be called Yeshua. God puts such a high price on obedience that he warns Joshua to stay steadfast in the laws Moses passed down to him before Moses died. When the final Messiah, Yeshua, walked the land of Israel, he was the walking Torah, who was the example of Torah obedience. He was accused of breaking Torah instructions, but no evidence could be found. If he had been found to have broken any of the Torah commands, he would not have been the sinless Savior, and we would still be looking for the first coming of a suffering Savior. When we compromise with God's Torah requirements, we bring trouble upon ourselves, as it is stated in Joshua chapter 7, verses 1 through 12. But I want to focus on verses 11 through 13. Israel has sinned, yes, they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. Now they have even taken of the things under the ban of destruction. So they have also stolen and even deceived and even put them among their own possessions. So sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. So they turn their necks before their enemies because they have come under the ban. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever is under the ban from among you. Arise, consecrate the people and say, consecrate yourselves tomorrow, for thus says Adonai, the God of Israel. Something under the ban is in the midst of Israel. You will not be able to stand up against your enemies until you remove whatever is under the ban from among you. In this instance, there was only one person who defied God's instructions, but the whole nation suffered because of his sin. Rav Shaul told the congregation in Corinth that they were one member of God's people, and when one does wrong, the rest suffer for it, as God holds the congregation accountable to his Torah. 1 Samuel 15:22 tells us of God's response to King Saul's disobedience. Samuel said, "Does Adonai delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Adonai? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to pay heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and stubbornness is like iniquity and idolatry. Since you have rejected Adonai's word, he has also rejected you as king." God finally rejected Saul and removed his anointing. Samuel wasn't saying that God was rejecting the sacrificial system. He was saying that God prefers obedience, but sacrifice is necessary because we choose to disobey. Such is God's grace and mercy. When we know to do right but continue to walk in disobedience, we set ourselves up for grave discipline or even, ultimately, rejection by God. This doesn't happen overnight. It takes rejection after rejection, sometimes year after year, before God's patience wears out. We can look at how God dealt with Israel in her disobedience to get an idea of how God feels about disobedience by those who belong to him. Over and over, God told them to walk according to his word, his Torah, and they would receive blessing beyond measure. However, they decided to do things their way, own way, making stuff up as they went, and eventually, after about 400 years, the kingdom of Israel was taken captive, and 300 years later, God drove the kingdom of Judah out of his inheritance. Rav Shaul, also known as Paul, tells the converts in Galatia, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he also shall reap. For the one who sows in the flesh, the fallen nephesh, will reap corruption from the flesh. But the one who sows in the ruach will reap from the ruach eternal life." Galatians 6, 7, and 8. We can see this pattern played out in Messiah Yeshua's day. We see him referring to the principle that those who obey God and follow his word are considered the children of God, as recorded by John. Yochanan in chapter 14, verses 9 through 31, and chapter 15, 1 through 17. Way too much to quote here, but I will read chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so he may be with you forever. The Ruach of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. You know him because he abides with you and will be with you. In chapter 15, verses 7 through 10, it says, If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. In this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Here, I want to remind everyone that there was no Gospels, no apostolic letters written down. There was only the scrolls of the ancient prophets and the rabbis, the Torah scrolls and the verbal teachings of the Pharisees and Yeshua. Yet Messiah Yeshua tells his disciples to obey the Torah, the word of God. Yeshua's discourse is very explicit regarding those who obey and the Father's relationship with him. Walk in obedience, and God will provide all that is needed. Walking in accordance with the life instructions of God and enjoying the benefits can be somewhat compared with a foreigner who seeks citizenship in a new country. Immigration is still very much a hot topic in the U.S., so this example is applicable. He first determines that he is going to make a new life in a different country. He then applies for permission to relocate. When all the formalities are done, he enters the new country and begins the process of integration. He will not receive the full benefits of his adopted country until he becomes a full citizen. When he has pledged allegiance and left the things of the previous country behind, then he can claim the blessing of his new country. If you talk to anyone who has gone through this process, you will find a person who is proud to obey the laws of the U.S. So it is with the kingdom of God. Entrance into God's kingdom is through accepting his Torah covenant and repenting for having ignored it. By acknowledging that God's covenant Torah is his very heart and his revelation, one has entered into this covenant by faith in the revealed Torah, whom we now know as Yeshua the Messiah. The next step is to start living according to the Torah that you had once rejected. There is an official process one needs to go through to complete the immigration into the kingdom of God, just as there is an official process one goes through to becoming a legal citizen in a different country. Unless we fully release the ways, lifestyles, and doctrines of the previous lifestyle and pledge allegiance to God's covenant, we will not truly tap into the blessings of God's kingdom promises. Dual citizenship shows double-mindedness and lack of commitment. God will not give us all his blessings until we are totally surrendered to his kingdom and its laws. Obedience connects us to God, and he will bless us as he sees fit. We tap into all that God has to offer when we make him Lord completely. Disobedience or ignorance brings trouble. Obedience brings the promise that God will provide and that nothing will be too much for us to bear as we yield to his word and will. David knew the fulfilled promises of God throughout his life before and during his reign as king. Why? Because he knew the value of obeying God's commandments and precepts. You can see how deep his understanding was by reading the Psalms. Psalm 119, verses 33-40 is very direct. Teach me, Adonai, the way of your laws. Keeping them will be its own reward for me. Give me understanding, then I will keep your Torah. I will observe it with all my heart. Guide me on the path of your mitzvot commandments, for I take pleasure in it. Bend my heart toward your instructions and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. With your ways, give me life. Fulfill your promise, which you made to your servant, which you made to those who fear you. Avert the disgrace which I dread, for your rulings are good. See how I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. David was not perfect, but his whole life desire was to please God. When it becomes our desire to follow God's Torah, then we will see changes begin to take place in our lives and circumstances. we will see the promises of God begin to come to pass. The measure of our obedience is directly related to how much we love God. We can glean this statement from Yeshua's own words in Luke chapter 12, a parable about the faithful servant, Luke 12 verses 42 through 48. And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master will put in charge of his servants to give them their food portion at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whose master finds him so doing when he comes. Truly, I tell you, his master will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is taking a long time to come.'" Remember the golden calf episode? "And he begins to beat the young slave boys and girls and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he does not know. And he will cut him in two and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That slave who knew his master's will but did not prepare or act according to his desire will be harshly whipped. But the one who did not know and did things worthy of a beating will be whipped lightly. From everyone given much, much will be required. And from the one for whom more is provided, all the more they will ask of him." This is a very serious warning from Yeshua. Yaakov the Just, Yeshua's brother, known as James, the leader of the sect in Jerusalem, reiterates this warning in his letter in James chapter 4, verse 17. "If we know to do right, but do not do it, it is considered Torah breaking for us. The much we have been given is the bloody sacrifice of the Messiah and the responsibility to uphold the Torah standard. If we love God superficially, then we will only obey the laws that please us or get us what we want. This ultimately means that we are the God we want to serve. There is so much more richness we can find in God if we would only yield our minds and hearts to His kingdom covenant life and become true citizens of the kingdom of God. There is a deeper abiding relationship that is just waiting for us to discover. There is so much more love that God wants to reveal to us if we would only surrender control of our hearts and lives to Him. As long as we remain unyielded with hearts that do not desire God's perfect instructions, then we will not truly be citizens and will not experience the fullness of God's love or blessing. Are you following the traditions of the early church fathers who burned many of the very books Yeshua studied and taught his own disciples? Have you based your entire life on traditions that have no scriptural basis? Are you comfortable following a doctrine that has replaced the very covenant that gave us Messiah Yeshua? Are you comfortable denying the Jewish Messiah by rejecting the Torah? Are you comfortable rejecting the sacrifice Yeshua made that enabled you to join with God's covenant people? Messiah Yeshua's first target was to cause his Jewish brethren to come back from their assimilation to the Greek and Roman cultures and to be born again into the life of the Torah covenant. Remember, he said, "I did not come for the righteous, but for the sinners." That's Mark 2:17 and Luke 5:23. The righteous were those who were still walking in the covenant of Torah. Let me say that again. The righteous that Yeshua was referring to were those who were still walking in the covenant of Torah. His second target was to gather in the souls from the pagan nations. John 3:17 says, "God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be redeemed through him." He desired to redeem as many as possible who were outside of God's covenant of Torah. Our Father, our King, King of the vast universe, Creator of all we know, open our eyes to see how great your compassion is for all who really want to be citizens of your glorious kingdom. What you ask of each person is so little compared to what you ask of your Messiah Son. If we can truly yield our selfish agenda that only satisfies our earthly soul and take hold of the life that is available when we transfer allegiance, how splendid would our lives become. The joy that is just waiting for us cannot be measured in this world. Abba, it is your kindness that leads us to repentance, because without that, we would not even be interested in all that you have just waiting for us. Stir the righteous soul that you have placed within us and lead us into the path of righteous living for your name's sake. In Yeshua's glorious name we ask. Let us finish with the blessings. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu torat emet vechaye olam nota betochenu. Baruch ata Adonai noten haTorah. Amen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and implanted eternal life within us. Blessed are you, Adonai, giver of the Torah. And the blessing for finishing our good news study. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, our King, Redeemer, Savior, and Shield, who sent Messiah Yeshua, the King of Israel, to ransom your beloved ones. Blessed are you, Adonai, who renews his covenant in love. Amen. If you have become a citizen of God's kingdom, but you haven't started learning how to obey kingdom law, you can start growing in your knowledge and understanding of God's word by watching the live stream feed of Sar Shalom Synagogue every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Sar Shalom Synagogue, the blue ribbon logo, YouTube, has video recordings going back at least 5 years. I suggest starting with the messages from the last Shabbat of October 2016. These messages start with Genesis, which is the best place to start if you want to see how Yeshua fits within the whole of the Bible narrative. Or if you tune into the live stream, Rabbi has started an in-depth study of Genesis that will last all year long. Be prepared to be amazed at the info you will learn. You can also tune in to Lapid Judaism, the blue logo, with Rabbi Mordecai Griffin on YouTube Live for the daily and Aliyah a Day teaching each day, Monday through Friday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, or on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. You can also watch past Aliyah episodes on Anchor Podcast. What I have shared in this podcast is like sitting in the kindergarten class. There are several resources I would like to recommend if you are ready to walk in the footsteps of Yeshua and his disciples. If you have the Anchor app on your cell phone, you can access the teachings of Shomer Man, S-H-O-M-E-R, and Man, capital M-A-N, capital S, capital M, and Super Time, two, it's one word, but S is capitalized and T is capitalized, so Super Time, one word. Musar, M-U-S-S-A-R, with Batya, B-A-T-Y-A-H. And Thomas and Janaya for more clarity and interesting insights for understanding and applying God's Word. Some resource books to enhance your understanding of the Bible are the Art Scroll Chumash and the Kehot Chumash. These contain the five books of Moses, also known as the first five books of the Bible. You will learn amazing insights from the sages of Israel that you might recognize from some of the letters of the apostles. Everything they wrote came from the writings of these ancient judges and sages. Everything, even the concept of a Messiah figure. Everyday Holiness by Alan Morinus will teach you how to change your character issues and make you more like the character of Yeshua. The Path of the Just by Rabbi Moshe Chaim, C-H-A-I-M, Luzzatto, L-U-Z-Z-A-T-T-O, Luzzatto. This is another book on perfecting your character traits. The Book of Jasher, as I mentioned in the podcast, is a parallel history from the Garden of Eden to Israel entering the Promised Land. I also want to encourage you to purchase a Bible that is untainted by the replacement theology of the early church fathers. Christian Bibles lose key points in translation from the Hebrew context to the Greek language and then into the Latin, and finally into the limits of the English language. My favorite at the moment is the Tree of Life version, which is available on the Gateway Bible app. And the Delitzsch Hebrew Gospels, Delitzsch, D-E-L-I-T-Z-S-C-H, Hebrew Gospels, published by Vine of David, is another great resource for seeing how the Hebrew idioms are explained in their proper perspective. Many of Yeshua's teachings come right from the Talmudic writings and from Deuteronomy. The Apostles' letters have their foundation in these same ancient scrolls of Judaism and can be fully realized within the context of Jewish commentaries. Shalom, and have a blessed week.